This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro.
And I'm Michelle Martin.
Over the course of just a few months, COVID-19 has transformed the American economy. And for our final show, we want to answer your questions about what it might look like going forward.
To help us, we're joined once again by NPR's chief economics correspondent, Scott Horsley. Scott, welcome back.
Michelle and Ari, it's great to be back with y'all.
Well, it's great to hear from you. And we've been talking during a moment when the inequities experienced by African Americans have surfaced in a powerful way once again. We're watching protests across the country over police and community violence against African Americans. And we already know that COVID-19 has been disproportionately deadly for Black people. Can you tell us anything about whether there have been similar economic disparities for African Americans during this period?
There have been, and in some ways they are related to those health inequities you talked about. You know, unemployment has gone up dramatically in the last couple of months for all racial groups. For African Americans, the unemployment rate last month was 16.7%. That's higher than the jobless rate for white Americans, 14.2%. I should say, though, the gap between those two groups is actually a little bit smaller than it was back in February before the pandemic took hold. Latinos actually saw the largest spike in unemployment. But, you know, job loss is just part of the story here. Another piece of it is African Americans who are still working are more likely to be in jobs that they can't do from home. And that means they are out and about mixing with the public and at greater risk of infection.
Scott, we got a message from Tony in Austin on this topic. Let's listen.
This pandemic is already impacting marginalized communities unevenly. So now, when I think about the near future and about what reopening is going to look like, I'm worried about equality and equity issues that will be harder to overcome.
So to that point, Scott, when you look forward at the reopening process, how do you expect minorities to be financially affected?
I think Tony's got a very valid concern. You know, the economic downturn has affected all Americans, but especially those on the lower rungs of the income and education ladders. That is true in every recession, but it's especially the case this time around because the kind of jobs that are most at risk during this pandemic are low-paying service jobs, and they are disproportionately held by Black and brown people. This is especially sad because, you know, we were after a decade of economic growth, we were finally starting to see some gains among those low-wage workers. The very, very low unemployment rate we were enjoying before this pandemic hit was the best thing that had happened to workers' bargaining power in a long time. And unfortunately, that bargaining power for workers has largely evaporated now that we have tens of millions of people out of work, and it's unfortunately going to take a long time to get that back.
Ari and I were talking before the program started about how much we've enjoyed checking in with people and hearing from people really all across the country over these last couple of months. So we wanted to check back in with a few guests that we've had on the program to hear how their experience has changed over the months of this pandemic. And Opal Foster is a graphic designer. She's not employed at the moment. We spoke to her a couple of times during the show's run, and she's had a really hard time getting unemployment. And this is the update she sent us now.
I started getting unemployment. I am still in the process of trying to get health insurance, which that's been a few hurdles to jump through. I am currently looking for a job. I was kind of hopeful that my job would call me back. It's been 2 months, so I don't know if they're in a position to call me back. Lessons learned during this time are to make the most out of less, to kind of appreciate your family and the quiet time that you have with them. We're okay, but long term, I don't know how long this is sustainable.
And Opal also sent a question for you, Scott, so we'll play it for you.
How do we rebound with so many people on unemployment? And how do we get those people like myself working again?
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear Opal's finally able to receive unemployment insurance. That's important. You know, ultimately, a big part of what drives this economy and jobs is consumer spending. We found out today that in April, consumer spending tumbled by the largest amount on record. And for a while, that was okay because we wanted people to stay home. We didn't want them out spending money and maybe spreading the virus. But at some point, we do need people to start spending again. That means they have to have money in their pockets. The government has been sending out a lot of money, both in extra unemployment benefits and those $1,200 relief payments. In April, those government benefits actually more than made up for the wages that Americans had lost on the whole. It will be interesting to see because the benefits in some cases are going to run out in a few months. Will Congress decide to extend them? And then the other question is, you know, with people have money in their pockets and stores and restaurants are reopening, are they going to feel safe going out and spending money, getting on airplanes, going to movie theaters? Some people will feel safe right away. Others will be tiptoeing with precautions, and still others won't be safe, won't feel safe until we have a vaccine. So that's what it's going to take to get the economy going again.
We wanted to check in with a couple of business owners who we've had on the program before who are navigating this pandemic. And so we've called Lynn Stout, owner of Bond Events in Virginia. Good to have you back on the program.
Hi, nice to be back.
And Chris Escobar owns the Plaza Theater in Atlanta. Nice to have you back as well.
Thanks for having me.
There's a bit of an echo I'm hearing, but Lynn, if you could just tell us, you're in the events business. Last time we talked almost 2 months ago, everything in your industry was basically on hold. How are you getting by now?
Well, we've had an interesting sort of run of it. We, when I last spoke to you, we had lost everything for the entire year. Immediately after that, we sort of put our heads down with our tech team and got to work, and we've actually built an online portal, what we wanted to see our online events look like. We've reached back out to all of our clients, and we're working again. So it's certainly not the same. The volume's not the same. The pricing's not the same. But the team is intact for the most part, and we're doing events again. So it looks very different, but at least there's a path forward.
So, Chris, let's hear from you. You're in Georgia. That's a state that reopened very early on, but you also depend on big gatherings of people for your business. We last spoke just as Georgia began opening up. How are things? Are you anywhere close to business as usual, getting back to that?
Not exactly. In fact, it's very business unusual. And what I mean by that is we are showing movies, but not in our theater. We've actually pivoted to a full-on drive-in, which is very different.
And what's the response to that been like?
It's been amazing from the community. We're having shows sell out sometimes in just minutes. The weather, on the other hand, has not always cooperated. It can seem to be a little unpredictable. The challenges we're having is, you know, it's not realistic from just a bandwidth standpoint for us to operate 7 days a week like we normally have. We're also dependent on something out of our control, darkness. Which is in short supply in the summer. And so we're limited both by the number of hours we can operate, the number of days we can operate, and then, you know, weather, things like that. So, I mean, it's a tremendous response from the community and the public, but I would say we're probably operating at about 20% revenue. And yet, because of the amount of people it takes, I have to have actually twice the amount of staff at any given time. So it's a squeeze for sure. Mm.
Sounds like some improvement, but still some big challenges. We'd like you both to stay with us, Lynn Stout and Chris Escobar. Lynn is the owner of Bond Events in Virginia. Chris owns the Plaza Theater in Atlanta. We have to take a short break, but we'll be right back in just a moment. This is The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.